Hello, and welcome to the DDI podcast. On today's episode, we have Chief Data Officer for Scotland, Albert King, discussing data and better public services, adding value, not just noise. But first, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter at ddi.ac.uk and follow us on LinkedIn and on Twitter at Data Capital Ed. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Hello. My name's David Lee, and today I'm joined by Albert King, who's the Chief Data Officer for Scotland. Albert spent a decade in IT in the private sector before he moved into the public sector in 2007, and he's held a range of IT and data roles since then. He was named Chief Data Officer during the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic, what some might call a battlefield appointment, given the central role that data has played in our response to the pandemic. Welcome, Albert. First of all, COVID-19 represented arguably the biggest challenge any of us have faced in our working lives, and data was so important in the response to the pandemic. What were the main data challenges, particularly in those early stages of the crisis?
Yeah, thanks, David. So, I mean, at that stage, we really needed to understand and respond to the pandemic clearly and to provide information which would inform and guide decisions which would hopefully slow the spread and reduce the death toll and indeed mitigate the wider impacts on society. So the main challenges were really understanding exactly what data we had and bringing it together in a really rapid and effective and safe way to fulfill that thirst for data and evidence.
How would you say Scotland responded, particularly in terms of that vital joined up working between different public bodies?
Yeah, well, as you say, that interaction between different bodies and partners was and continues to be really vital. And a good example of that was that in late May, we announced a new data task force chaired actually by my boss, Chief Statistician Roger Halliday. And that brought together existing and emerging data infrastructure, such as the resources, expertise and capabilities, as well as the key data sets to advise ministers who were making and are making really important COVID-19 decisions. And that partnership involved, for example, Scottish Government, Public Health Scotland, National Records of Scotland, the Edinburgh Parallel Computer Centre, and academic focused organisations such as Health Data Research UK and six universities in Scotland, including Edinburgh. So it's been a really collaborative, collegiate and concerted response across a really broad spectrum of partners in Scotland's public sector and academic communities.
Okay, what kind of data sets are you talking about there? What specific data? And how do you make sure that they're handled securely, given all the kind of concerns around data security and data privacy?
So making sure that we handle data securely and in a way which preserves privacy was absolutely foremost in our minds. But to give you some sense then of just how important it is that we do that, the sort of data that we're talking about here include things like data on the use of healthcare services, data on COVID-19 tests, care home resident data, data on where vulnerable groups are, and information on school pupils, work, family structures and commuting. So it's a really broad range. And so we absolutely had from the start had to consider that security of the data. That's fundamental to retaining public trust in the way that we handle that information. And ensuring that we continue to have the license to do what we need to do from the public. So we established the proven infrastructure that I was talking about earlier to hold and link that data securely and to provide a secure setting for research. And that created what you might call a virtual analytical workbench that allows researchers to work on data sets together securely and without taking the data out of that secure setting. But to do that from different locations and as they work from different places around the country. And the aim there was really to move quickly to allow those experts to analyse information and to use it to support an informed response to the pandemic by the various public bodies, including Scottish Government, all the while, of course, ensuring that we handle data legally, ethically and responsibly.
Okay, so what do you mean specifically by legally, ethically and responsibly in that context?
So clearly we are assembling data about people. We have to handle it with great care. And so it's critical, for example, that we maintain people's privacy and sustain public trust. So if we make mistakes in doing that, we lose that trust. And that's something we simply can't afford to do if we are to improve the lives of citizens in the sorts of ways we've been talking about. Fortunately, we were able to draw on well-established and trusted systems and structures to manage those risks. It's also really important to realise that, you know, as we're talking about this data and the need to assemble it at pace, sometimes that is personal data, and it's really important that we handle it in a way that's appropriate. But often it's location-based information, often called geospatial data or aggregated data. And that can provide really important insights to inform the response as well.
Okay, so when we talk about data infrastructure and workbenches and so on, it might seem to some people a little bit distanced from what's actually going on in the reality of people's lives. So how has data actually helped people, do you think, in a practical way during, as I said, one of the most challenging times probably any of us have ever faced in our lives?
Yeah, so you've touched on a nerve there, because for me, data is really powerful and interesting, but unless it actually improves lives, then it really isn't delivering value, right? So in this particular case, bringing together health and local government data was crucial to enabling us to work together to identify and support people who were shielding, for example. So also, another great example is the Connecting Scotland initiative, which is working to support thousands of the most vulnerable, by which I mean those on low incomes or considered clinically at high risk, in order to get online, and helping them to access services and support and connect with families and friends during the pandemic. And in both cases, that cooperation between national, local government, health and social care and the voluntary sector enable us to understand who needed that support, where they are, and to make sure that we put that offer in place and really helped support them through a very, very difficult time.
Okay, and what about in a practical sense as well, Albert, how data has helped inform those decisions about which social restrictions should remain in place and how we start to move through that roadmap out of lockdown in Scotland?
So, I mean, I was talking earlier about that data task force that was established, and that was specifically established to support the work of the scientific committee that the First Minister set up to advise her and the cabinet on this. So, you know, it's interwoven. The use of data and evidence is interwoven in the way in which people are making decisions, ministers are making decisions. And that's reflected in the briefing and the that comes from senior leaders that is, you know, they always talk about the way in which data and evidence and scientific advice is informing how we move through the roadmap.
And is that forming, is that likely to form quite a lot of your work in the way forward, as we don't know what's going to happen this winter in terms of a second wave? We don't know which lockdown restrictions might need to remain, which social restrictions might need to remain. Is your work going to be very much informed by how data can help in that ongoing decision making?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not like we're through the worst of this and then we don't need to pay attention to that any longer. So we continue to need to support that need for data and evidence to inform, as you say, those decisions as we progress, to try to anticipate changes as well and to identify where there might be new outbreaks in order to allow us to respond really rapidly, and also start to think about turning our attention to some of the social and economic challenges that have arisen because of the crisis.
Okay, and how do you feel across the public sector, Albert? What's the response you've seen from individuals working in the public sector and their sort of determination to do their bit at this time of crisis?
Yeah, so individuals, it's actually pretty inspiring to see how people have responded to this in the public sector and actually more widely, because we see a tremendous amount of commitment from everybody that certainly I encounter, the commitment to trying to ensure that everyone across the whole public sector and beyond, as I say, was, you know, wants to rise to the challenge of addressing the need I talked about earlier. They're making their technology available, they're making their expertise available, and all the while during a period of massive change when often individuals are facing really difficult circumstances as a result of, for example, lockdown. So that's definitely been a feature and a really inspiring thing to see.
And how did you adapt your own way of working, Albert?
So I was made chief data officer early in the crisis, as you said earlier. And so that means there's been lots to get to grips with, not least developing my own profile in a situation where I can't meet people face to face. So I've had to adapt and find new ways to engage with new audiences and new stakeholders. It's also really been important to sustain critical pieces of work, because we need to make sure we're able to position Scotland strongly for the future. And we're going to really need data and data innovation to drive us forward. So, you know, Scotland's AI strategy, the artificial intelligence strategy, is one of those critical activities. And that project is carrying on, albeit at a slightly different pace. And although it is called an AI strategy, it is all about delivering a citizen-centric approach to AI to assist in terms of better public services and delivering a stronger economy for Scotland.
And that touches on what you talked about earlier. It's that data really means nothing unless we can derive some value and some public benefit from it. Research Data Scotland, you know, its stated aim is to improve the economic, social, environmental well-being in Scotland by enabling access to and linkage of data about people, places and businesses for research in the public good. So in terms of that public good, how are we doing, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Scotland has some fantastic data assets, and we've been able to, during this crisis, accelerate the delivery of some of those services to deliver public good, such as the Research Data Scotland COVID-19 service. But we're continuing to develop RDS, for example, and as the task force has demonstrated, we can work at pace to deliver a service directly to inform policy and decision making, and ultimately better public services. And so we're really committed to doing that. I think it's shown the way on that. We're also committed to operating in a way which is around the principles of open government. And that means to making more of our data more open. And one of the things we've actually learned during the crisis is that simply publishing lots of data that has potential value isn't necessarily a smart use of resources. It might just add to, you know, noise. But by focusing our resources during COVID-19, we've been able to really add a lot of value. And so we clearly need to learn from that. We need to constantly align our thinking around what data is going to create economic, social or environmental value and really direct and focus our efforts towards that, I think.
And how do you think, Albert, the kind of public feels about that whole thorny issue of their own kind of private data being used, even if it is showing that it can deliver public value? That's a big issue, isn't it?
It's a massive issue. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, it's fundamental that we address that if we're to be able to continue to derive value from data, social and economic value from data. So that openness and transparency about what we're doing with people's data and how it's used, but also the benefits that come from it and letting people see that there are positive, they're getting something positive from the way that their data is used, is absolutely fundamental. And of course, people will be sensitive about how we use their data. And of course, they'll demand that we handle it safely and hold it to the highest standards. But I think there is also actually an expectation that data will be used smartly to deliver better public services. So there is an opportunity, I think, to build and extend the public understanding of how we are using data and how that can benefit us. And we can do that through raising the profile of some of the research that shapes policy and saves lives using public sector data. And we have to be bold and we have to talk about that so that people understand the value of their data and the contribution they're making through the use of their data to improving services and saving lives.
And how well geared up are we at the moment, Albert, for sharing data across the public sector? There have been various pinch points during this crisis where been criticism maybe of the way that care home data has been married up with healthcare data and so on. How are we doing in terms of sharing data effectively to deliver that public value?
I think, I mean, the crisis has clearly shown just how important it is. And there's no, you know, it is a challenge. One of the reasons for that is that actually, historically, different public services have described data in different ways. But I think this has also shown that when we're operating on contemporary digital platform-based business models, as we set out in our digital strategy, it has helped us to address that. And, you know, that's reflected in the approach we're taking to things like our digital identity platform and our payments platforms that we're building in Scottish Government. And as common platforms that public services can use more effectively to deploy services more efficiently and at lower cost, but also through the adoption of common data standards and the platforms around how we use and handle data that reduce the time and again the cost of delivering digital products and services. So we have to build a national data infrastructure with those technical foundations, with the skills, the vision and the leadership to make it happen across our public sector and our wider economy in future.
So in conclusion, Albert, what do you think we've learned about data during this pandemic and how do you think that can help us as we look forward?
Yeah, so I guess the crucial things are that happily for me, data has been vital in our response. We've learned that different public bodies and partners can and have worked really well together to bring that information together to inform better decisions. And we've gained some really great insights into how we can improve the ways we collect, share and analyse data from all of our public bodies in the most effective way and move towards common platforms. And we'll be continuing to focus on addressing COVID as we turn our attention to the economic and social challenges, as I mentioned. But everyone is really committed to doing that. And working together to deliver the best possible outcomes for the people of Scotland, which is fantastic.
Okay, Albert King, thank you very much indeed for your time today.
My pleasure.
If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you hit review and check out ddi.ac.uk for a selection of upcoming podcasts and webinars and articles as part of our virtual engagement series, hashtag DDI discussions. Make sure you follow us on LinkedIn and on Twitter at Data Capital Ed. Thanks for listening and have a great day.